this week on Full Credit to the Boys, we review the Origin number one. We look back on NRL round 13, and we pay respect to the greatest of them all. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys.
I don't wrestle with an alligator. That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. That's bad. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Bad dude.
Bad. Fast. Last night, I cut the light off in my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark.
Incredible.
Fast. Incredible. I'm going to show you how great I am.
On Sunday morning, Normie, the greatest of all, passed away. Not only was he an athlete, he was a defining figure in history. And for some reason, it felt, I guess what it would be like if I was into music and Prince died, or if I was a royal watcher and Diana died. This was a big moment, and a huge part of history has now passed on.
And I think the saddest moment of all, the saddest thing to come out of his whole story is his son will lead. What a disappointment he's turned out to be.
But he did get a gold logie, which has been a big thing.
How did he, bro? That's reverse racism, that one, mate.
Muhammad Ali compiled a 56-5 win-loss record as a professional boxer. He held the heavyweight title three times, the first man to do that, and won a gold medal at the 1960 Olympics in Rome. And there was a public outpouring, especially on social media, that probably the world's never seen before. It lit up at all levels and probably will only be seen again when the great Normie Dorrell leaves the earth, although most of that will be people bagging them and asking for the money that he owes them.
Mate, I'll go down swinging. There's nothing sure. Interesting question was asked to me by a mate at work today, Former. I'm going to pose it to you. Who would win out of Tyson in his heyday and Muhammad Ali in his heyday?
Ali.
No way. I reckon Tyson would knock him out in 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, they said the same thing about Foreman, and that never happened either.
Well, he knocked the fat out of my sausages like I've never seen before, mate, that George Foreman grill.
Is there anyone that you can think of that this is good news for, that Muhammad Ali has now passed on?
Well, it opens up a space on the torch relay, doesn't it, on the Olympics? I mean, he was always a guarantee. So now if you're one of those sort of backroom brawlers, you're Aussie Joe's probably put his hand up.
Well, the only person I could think of was Michael J. Fox, because now he must surely be the most famous man with Parkinson's disease.
And I'm disillusioned as to why the Mad Dog McDougal hasn't got him as he's the face of the man shake. Surely, if there's a man you want endorsing your product.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at @FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend, @former_legend. Across from me on the little Skype machine is @NormieDorrell, all one word. And dressed only in a thermal blanket and a smile is @SidPunts at the top of Maca Pichu or Pichu Maca or whatever the hell that thing is over there. Mate, and are my eyes deceiving me, or are you Skyping me from Sid's bedroom?
Hey, don't be fooled by the Jack Stock posters in the background. But somewhat coincidentally, the same lady did help me decorate this room as helped Sid, and that is his mother.
Yes.
She actually was the interior designer here behind me. She's done quite a good job.
She's done an immaculate job. Yeah, I really like what she's done with the place. I'm not sure about the whips and the stripper pole, but nonetheless, good on her. Normie, probably the other huge thing to come out of this week, and we were alerted to this, and we had to remain quiet about it a couple of weeks ago by someone at the NRL, and they said there will be a special tribute to you guys in a few weeks. We had no idea what it was. We discussed it for ages. But in the end, it's a Gallandol available at Coles and Coles fuel places that says full credit to the boys, Normie. Is this a tribute and are we up for any dollars?
Well, it's probably the best thing Paul Gallen's ever done. And surprisingly, the figurines are actually taller than Paul Gallen in real life. So there's a couple of things to look out for there. But I haven't bought one yet, personally.
And unlike him, and just the same as him, he doesn't pass the ball, this figurine. All right, let's hit the news. And the week started early with Origin number one, Normie, and Queensland outlasted the Blues 6-4 in a what type of struggle would you call it?
It was an arm wrestle, wasn't it?
I was hoping you'd say dour in Ray's voice. A dour struggle. No points scored in the second half in front of a full house at Renovator's Delight. After the Cooper Cronk, oh, I'm hurt, oh, I won't play, oh, it's a miracle, here I go. In between that whole drama, there was the whiteboard incident, Normie. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, the whiteboard incident. What a G-up that was.
Yeah, so apparently Queensland found our game plan, which was run at Thurston, run at Cronk, try and score some tries. It was really out there, and wow.
Well, going by the game, I think the whiteboard pretty much said, take five scoots out of dummy half and put in a shit kick. I know for when we knew it was going to be wet conditions, we both said, well, it's going to be an arm wrestle up the middle of the field. I just didn't expect that there to be pretty much zero attack at all at the other end of the field. And you had Gallen on the footy show this week saying, oh, it was so close. You know, it could have gone to either team. No, not at all. I mean, Queensland were always going to win. If Morris's try had been allowed, they would have found a way to score again, Queensland. Every time Queensland wins, New South Wales loses and says it was close. But no, they're going to lose another series.
Yeah. It's really hard not to think that. After the game, Daly blamed the refs for the loss. Can I just say one thing about that? I mean, it was a little bit predictable. If it was Queensland down 6-4 with 10 to go, they would have won.
Yeah, they would have. And I think
they would have found a way, Normie. They would have found a way.
I agree 100%. And it's not good enough for New South Wales to say they get close, because it's just Queensland has them covered the whole time, and they do what they need to win the game and then to hold New South Wales out or nullify their attack, even though there wasn't much in game one. And look, I love Laurie Daly. Former, I think I've told you before, he's my favourite player of all time.
A couple of times you've said something.
And not just a brilliant attacking player. I thought a great defensive player, especially one-on-one. He smashed guys anywhere on the field. But it pains me to say he's got to go. Laurie Daly's got to. He's just got to step down from the job. What's the point?
Who's going to go up? Bellamy? You're going to put Bellamy up because you're a big fan of him.
Well, I said the Storm had to let him go, so it would free him up. But what's the point of him seeing out another losing Origin series and then sacking him? If they get rid of him now, at least they might be able to salvage something from the rest of this season. I mean, look at some of his decisions. Putting Robbie Farrar in that team is probably the worst decision in Origin history.
No. Dylan Walker was the worst decision in that team. He was given 9 minutes to win a game. And, mate, I just want to say that it's not his fault. This isn't a crack at Dylan Walker. But it was one of the dumbest selections. Everyone said it was a dumb selection. And then it was backed up by dumb bench management.
I agree with you there, Former. But also the other points for me is playing Ferguson on the wing. I know he's played a bit of wing for the Sharks and the Roosters, but he's not a winger. He can't compete in the air. He's no good under the high ball. You see how many times the ball just hit open space with him and the fullback Moylan. He just looked out of position. And then Morris, Jack Bird made him look foolish against the Sharks on Monday night. So it's just some really bad choices.
Yeah, I mean, but in Ferguson's defence, the judge did say he was very good with his hands. So,
and the good news to come from all of this, Laurie leaves the Blues and can go back to commentary, because I reckon he's one of the best commentators that is able to call the game.
I heard someone thought that. I didn't know it was you. What about the Sam Thaiday faux outrage after his post-match interview? Was there much in that, do you think?
Well, as someone who also had quite a forgettable losing of the virginity experience, I actually found it was quite comforting. that another man could talk about this issue, and I felt that I wasn't alone. It was actually good therapy for me.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, they put him on the front page and called him, I don't know what it was, Sam Grubb Day or whatever, Vile Day or something like that. It was very unimaginative. But, I mean, geez, what do you want? Do you want blokes, I was going to say, full credit to the boys? Actually, hang on. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, look, I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, it wasn't offensive, wasn't it? It was actually, most people went, yeah, that's true. And if anything, it was standing up for most girls. Most girls have a pretty ordinary time for what you hear. So, yeah, I was fine with it.
By the time that game finished, it was about 11:30. So it was the time slot that chances used to be on anyway, and you used to see a lot more of breaking of virginity there. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got any 10-year-olds staying up to that late, I think the parents need to have a look at themselves, not a Sam Fido.
Grab a mirror. the 22-minute halftime break, that was another record set. That was tremendous.
Mate, unbelievable. It gave me enough time to get in a shower, a shave, and smash a whole plate of spag bowl. I still have enough time to get back. And well, halftime was more entertaining than the game, wasn't it?
I cooked a roast.
And I don't want to ask what sort of roast, mate. Dead set.
And just finally, shout out to Bonnie, who did a really good job hosting the Origin. But Normie, the quality of the coverage by Channel 9, there was one bit there where Corey Oates saved the ball from going out. It was in the last few minutes when I think New South Wales took a dropout. Gus described it as one of the most amazing pieces of play he's ever seen. To this point in time, I have not seen a replay of it.
No, I'm still wondering what happened there because the Blues were still in the game at this point. And yeah, and then some of the play that we'll never ever speak of. But you speak of a great quality of broadcasting. What about a great quality of journalism? The Daily Mail during the week were actually doing a piece on Vonnie's outstanding Origin call and how a lot of blokes had got onto social media and talked her up. And my tweet ended up in this article. Now, I tweeted full credit to the girls and a link to our podcast speaking about how Vonnie was on it, and it quoted me talking about our Origin call. It had nothing to do with it.
I mean, the fact that the journalist at a newspaper nowadays is also the receptionist, the photographer, the art director. All right, let's hit into round 13 of the NRL. And Friday night, the Raiders easily accounted for an injury-ravaged Seagulls 30-8 at GIM Cold Stadium. Dally Cherry Evans was out before halftime. There's about 50% of your salary cap. Jamie Lyon was out not long after that. There's another 20%. And then Jamie Bure decides he tried to tackle Junior Paulo head on and actually came up and asked what truck hit him. He had no idea. He was looking for bull bar marks and diesel splashed all over him. He was in Disneyland.
I felt sorry for Bure because he dead set looked like a replacement bench warmer for Walker coming into Origin 2, and now I'm not so sure. But I'm glad you mentioned Junior Paulo. Former, because never before in the history of footy can I remember the form prop of a competition switching teams halfway through. And now you have to think that the Raiders are just going to round out the top six. They're looking all right, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I mean, that means not as many upset Ricky Stewart press conferences, and no one's happy with that. That's a bad outcome for rugby league in general.
But this is the thing about Ricky. He'll find another reason to get upset. So now he'll be furious. Yeah, the Raiders will make the 8. Now he's furious they're not minor premiers and everyone's against them. And if they only had a couple more Origin players.
By the time of the game was at the closing stages, Manly had zero players on the bench except for Cherry Evans in a bucket of ice. His foot in a bucket of ice. But they actually went better, Normie, and closed the gap on. Or was it the fact that Canberra went worse?
It's always Canberra dropping the bundle, mate. They do it every single game. They get out to these big leads. It's like the Warriors of old, except now the Warriors just can't get to the lead to begin with. But the other big thing for me is, Ford, did you see Ricky's mullet? He's molding his entire career on you, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a poor man's mullet when you look at mine. I'm sure you'll agree. All right, Saturday, and the Warriors beat the Broncos at Not-So-Smart Stadium, 36 points to 18. As exclusively tipped by yours truly, and gave the Broncos their third straight loss. Filling in for Corey Oates, Lachlan Maranta had what is commonly known as a shocker. He has had the type of game that even Steve Maven would have been shaking his head at. What did you think about that?
Yeah, poor old Mylanta. He had a terrible game, didn't he? I was just talking the worries up about how hopeless they are, but wasn't it great? And it was an amazing weekend of footy, actually, for me. Wasn't it great to see a good old-fashioned upset? I mean, Sean Johnson playing his best game of the year. There were some phenomenal tries scored in this game. And we talked about how Ricky doesn't have sad presses recently. Wayne Bennett has stepped up to the plate in his depression. They've lost 4 from 5. He's got no one left at the NRL to blame this bloke.
Yeah. The game was just had absolutely everything in it. It was end-to-end stuff, the kind of game that the Warriors of old, they loved to play. And they scored 7 tries to 3. Apparently a shift in philosophy during the week of throwing the ball around was the key factor in them getting up. Am I the only one that's disturbed by that, that's what it takes for them blokes to have a go?
Well, if you were to sum up the Warriors for as long as they've been around, you'd say they throw the ball around. So maybe they've gone back to what they know best, mate.
Yeah. Oh, mate. They're a hard team to follow, aren't they? They'd be a worse team to coach, I'll tell you. I don't know how that McFadden's going to get through the season. The next game on Saturday night, the Cowboys smashed the Knights at Toothless Stadium, 46 points to 16. Jonathan Thurston just turned on a lesson for the Knights. The Cowboys just basically dominated the Knights throughout the park, mainly physically dominated them, Normie, despite the huge pack that the Knights do possess. They were never in it, mate, and as predicted again, the Cowboys just punched holes through them wherever they wanted to.
Oh, mate, this outcome was as predictable as the Maroons going on to win Origin 1, 2 and 3, wasn't it? I mean, the Knights, I reckon they might as well just say to the crowd, look, we're going to save everybody here the hassle, just have the 2 points, let's do something else. We'll do the team relay up and down the field and get a few members of the crowd involved or something like that, you know, just mix it up a bit.
What about a beer and pie drinking relay?
See? Already we're having more fun.
The other game on Saturday night, the Storm. Wow. They beat the Panthers at Rhonda and Kutut Stadium 24-6. Penrith's 6th loss in a row at Rhonda and Kutut Stadium. But it was the Storm of old, Normie. They were absolutely electric.
I'm so glad you said that, Former, because this was far and away the best game of the round, a phenomenal game of rugby league. But pre-game, when I was watching the commentators talk about it and people are tweeting me saying how much they hate bloody Gasmere and Brace, who I don't mind, by the way. And it's raining, it's cold in Melbourne. I'm like, oh, God, we've got the bloody Dulles Dishwater Storm up against the fumbling, bumbling foot of the Mountain Men. But actually, a sensational game. The Panthers threw everything at the Storm. They were fired up to break that hoodoo. And that's how you back up, like Cronk and Smith. That's how you put it together. Cronk found his best game of the year by far. Phenomenal in attack, phenomenal in defence. And I think the only difference being that the Panthers gave away 5 or 6 penalties on the last tackle that just kept killing their momentum. And in the end, the Storm were too strong. But and handling in the wet as well. The players of today, Former, they've come along since you pulled on your jersey, mate.
I wouldn't know about that. They're certainly not as tough. Are the Panthers in trouble? They are starting to look a little bit worrying. They've got to start winning because for all the raps and everything else, they have a tendency to lose, for want of a better way of putting it.
Mm. Well, when you say they've got raps on them, that's only from me, Former. And the fact Sweden Soward has been dropped from the side to reserve grade. James Seguiaro, who I think is one of the best dummy halves in the competition, also gone. That is a huge amount of your spine to lose. And now they're going to bring up young Cleary, who made his debut against Melbourne on the weekend.
He was solid.
And they're talking about he did a couple of things that said to me, there's a guy who's already got the professionalism at 18. And you've also got Bryce Carr right now, who's going to play 5-8. Has he ever played there before? I wouldn't have a clue. So that's a hard ask now. I was picking them for top 4. I still think they're definite top 8 material.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I don't even know that they are that. They seem like they're quick to offload players. Seguiaro's on the outer, and he was a favourite amongst the other players. Soward, he doesn't take bad news very well, as we can see over his the course of his career. He actually went to England to avoid bad news. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know that they will make the eight. Or would
well,
not.
Former, is there more to this that we're not hearing? Because all the focus at the moment's about Manly and Parramatta and the crisis they're going through. Surely something's happened at Penrith. You can't drop the captain and a great dummy half. It's not like they're replacing them with these standout, need-to-be-named players.
And then
Gus Gould deletes his Twitter during the week. There's something going on out there, mate.
Quite often, new coaches come along and try to put a new stamp on the whole team. I think that's what Griffin's doing. Well, the jury's out
strange
anyway.
Strange time to do it. Your team's in the top eight. They're playing well. They're winning games. Something's not adding up to me.
All right, on Sunday, the Roosters beat the luckless West Tigers at Coogee Pool, 32 points to 18. There was no Farrah. He wasn't named. No Ballon. Scarecrow says he's yet to decide if Robbie will play this week. I mean, here we go again with this just saga. And now it's come out today. Yeah, laugh it up. It's come out today that Ballon has gone for the year with a knee reconstruction. I mean, fair dinkum. Oh, it's just a nightmare. And the treadmill of the Robbie Farrah saga keeps on rolling. The one thing I will say, Benny Elias, I love Benny. Benny Elias came out today and said, I'm sick of the Robbie Farrah saga. I'm sick of the media going asking Benny Elias about the Robbie Farrah saga, if I'm honest.
Oh, mate, he's a renter coach. Every team's got one. He's the Tiger, former Tigers player who does that. I'm surprised it's not you just quietly. But I felt for the huge crowd that was there at that game, former. I mean, those conditions were abysmal. I don't know how the Roosters pulled 3,000 to that game because that was one of their largest crowds of the season. But wasn't Jared Warira, wasn't he? Oh, sensational. And it's great to see a front rower coming back to his form that we all know he's capable of now. He's got a couple of games behind him. He belted your mate Aaron Woods with a similar flowing hairdo.
That was the next point I was about to bring up, and I'm glad you brought it up. Jared Warira Hargraves consistently is the best front row in the game. Make no mistake whatsoever. There are blokes that have one or two good games, but every week this bloke turns up. Every week he turns it on, except for the 8 weeks that he gets suspended every year.
Well, further to that, former Dylan Napa has been napping ever since he had that huge game to get the Roosters their first win. He had an effort of a lifetime, and he's been quiet ever since. So, there's still a little glimmer for the Roosters. You never know what they're capable of, but just the way Jared ran over the top of Aaron Woods was scary for New South Wales.
They have a shocking draw to finish the year, mate. They cannot make the eight. They'll run ninth or tenth at best. Just as you touched on, 3,622 fans. I looked at the footage. I think 3,622 fans, or as I know that, bullshit. There was no way.
Oh, there weren't many.
No. I mean, 622 I might go with. I don't know where they got 3,000 from. Other game...
I'd have to agree with you there.
The other game on Sunday, the Rabbitohs lost in golden point to the Titans in Perth in a cracking game, Normie. 29 points to 28, as exclusively tipped by me yet again. The Titans...
Yeah, I was going to say, you backed the tits, and I was like, when it went to extra time, I was like, don't let her win. Former will be bloody claiming this all week.
It's about the only good thing that happened on Sunday, if I'm honest. The Titans were up 18-0, and I was crowing early before South rallied and came home like a proverbial train. South kicked a field goal in Golden Point, but it was disallowed after a brain fart from Nathan Brown, who collared a defender attempting to charge to end the field goal. Mate, has he got a dumb play anymore, what?
Mate, a few of these forwards do. Don't even get me started on the Sharks, which you will get me started on next. But every time the Rabbitohs lose, I shed a little tear for them because I know Madge McGuire is going to absolutely give it to them the next week. They're just going to run heels all week long. Oh, mate, their hearts must sink. But what an amazing game of footy again. And former, I cannot remember a better standard of rugby league all weekend long. And young Ash Taylor, he kicked the best field goal I've seen since Sean Timmins' Origin circa 2004, I think. 40 out to the left of the post. Phenomenal strike.
You know who he reminds me of, Normie? To look at and the way, even the way he plays, you know who he reminds me of? Todd Carney on when he's on the go, when he's really flying. He looks similar to him, that round boy face, but he just goes good too. When Todd was Todd was on.
Well, I haven't seen him at the urinal yet, but I'll get back to you on that, former.
And he hasn't put any shit tattoos on his arms yet, I don't think either. The other point to come out of this game was, speaking of Nathan Brown, the dog act where, well, that's what Brett Camorley called it, where he stomped on Ignatius Parsi's on the old hairy beanbag, and it went unchecked by the match review committee, although it's come out today that they've sent him a warning. What's that? How can he get warned for stomping?
Well, I know you get warnings for hanging out with bikies at dinner time, and you must also be stomping on people's nuts. There must be this list, rugby league players warning list. That's one of them. But just on that crowd in Perth as well, former, while the East Coast copped about 300 mils of rain, the Perth looks bloody dry as a huge crowd there. And surely the Roosters need to consider taking their home games over to Perth, don't they?
It's a good place for a team to go and base themselves that might be struggling, you know, to call themselves, I don't know, the West Tigers or something would go really well over
there. Oh, mate, the Perth Girth, surely.
Monday, Bulldogs lost to the Sharks in the final minutes, 20 points to 18. Normie, I'll let you have 12 seconds in the sunshine. Go.
No, it's all negative, boy. It's all really negative, unfortunately. Like, this podcast is about to take a downward turn. Paul Gallen needs to step down from Origin. I said this even before the season started. You can instill a winning culture in a club. I've always believed that you really can buy into a winning culture, but you also need to believe that you can buy into a losing culture. And that's all Paul Gallen is doing with these Origin escapades. I mean, what is the point of losing series after series and all that effort he puts in? He then comes back a loser to a club. It just brings us down. I mean, you look, he had no line speed. He let in a couple of tries. I believe he's good enough to play Origin footy, but I don't believe at 35 he's good enough to back up and put in the performance that his team warrants, the team he's played with his whole career. I'm the same age as Paul Gallen. I'm 35. And this is the best chance my footy team's ever had of doing 35? anything worth talking about in the competition.
You've had a tough life.
I've had nothing to cheer about. And it's just, he tried his best to lose that game for us on Monday night. He did his absolute best. And it was only these young players who don't have this losing culture in them yet, these Birds, the Valentine Holmes. And Maloney is a real winner, I'll give him that. To kick that goal after the bell on the sideline, mate, he took that in his stride. But they played terribly. And if it's one final glimmer of hope for Sharks fans, it's that the fact they can play that badly and beat a team who they've really struggled against, just like they have Manly in past years.
Jeez, I think that was longer than 12 seconds. But anyway.
Well, what do you think? What's Gallen doing? He's going to be remembered. I know he loves stats on his sheet. He's going to be remembered as the guy with the stat who lost more Origin series than any other player. I don't see what he's still trying to prove in that arena. Give your club something, mate. You've actually got... the Blues have got no chance. Your club's got a chance.
If I'm a cynic, I'm thinking, because Gal loves a dollar, the fact that he gets paid 30 grand per Origin game might be, you know, it's an incentive, if nothing else. So the other teams, the Parramatta Eels had the bye. Very disappointing. They never made one headline in that time.
Well, they did, because this explains why it was such a good weekend of footy. Such a high standard. The Eels and the Dragons didn't take the field, mate.
Yeah, and the Dragons scored as many exciting tries as every other week in the year. We get to other NRL news, Normie, and the story that sort of dominated headlines was the police inquiry into match fixing. 6 players being investigated for 2 games between Manly and South and Manly and the Eels. Con Ange and Eddie Hayson, or as the media call them, colourful racing identities, have both come out saying they know nothing of the allegations. Both have been named in various news outlets as the possible ringleaders. Both men are very friendly and have history with Andrew Johns. But if we're talking about betting, I'll give you some odds. $1.10, nothing comes of this.
Well, I know from my mate's own struggles that you can run into serious debt at brothels. And if you're looking to clear that debt, and Eddie Hastings says, you throw a game, I'll square the ledger, I reckon some of these players might have taken the easy option for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that works with Sid and his third grade Oatley club that he was playing for, but I mean, we've all tried to dig in and help Sid clear up his brothel debt. In other news, I mean, I don't really want to go into that. It's kind of getting boring. Good news for Brad Arthur is that he was a coach by a new club to coach next year. Bad news was it was the Warriors, kind of out of the frying pan into the fire there, Brad. Player movements, Isaac De Goyce is possibly going to leave Parramatta at the end of the year. They've only offered him $100,000 next year, which doesn't touch the sides on what he could be getting. Tepe Moroa is also being chased by clubs from Parramatta. Flash Gordon is possibly on the way out to the Roosters before June 30. Mm. Can the last person leaving Parramatta Eels please turn off Ricky's overhead projector on the way out of the door?
Well, as Mount Meninga put it, mate, the rats and filth are fleeing the sinking ship, aren't they? take any offer you can. Get out of that club because those five board members are still there. And they got
their ass handed to them today by the Supreme Court. They're out as well.
Well, there you go. Well, maybe now they can finally start to turn things around, but ride this season off, that's for sure.
Other player movements, Curtis Sirenin is being shopped around by the Tigers. Don't ask me what's going on there. I've got no idea. T-Rex, big Tony Williams, has been offered around the clubs for as little as $80,000 for the rest of the year and still can't get a taker. And that's extraordinary.
Mate, I'm telling you, if the Titans can land T-Rex, look out. They're going to have some sort of four-pack. Well, surely they've got to put an offer together for him.
No, why would you? No way. No.
Why wouldn't you?
Because he doesn't try. There you go.
You got nothing to lose. And again, Neil Henry's one of those coaches I reckon who can get something out of it.
Yeah, good luck. No other coach has. Dez has had a couple of goes.
Well, it's too much bloody calf blood. That's what you give a T-Rex too much calf blood, he goes off the rails. There you go, mate. Straight back at you.
From what I hear, the last place that T-Rex needs to go is the Gold Coast. The NRL Footy Show have apologised this week for a racist remark from Bo Ryan about a Chinese lady possibly eating dogs. And that was then featured in a tweet from the show's Twitter account. Normie, was this a big deal?
Well, this is actually coincidental for me because I have not watched the Footy Show, fair dinkum, in 20 years. I watched this, the whole thing. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, geez, the Footy Show is actually a bit better than I remember. But when Bo Ryan's segment came, I said, I don't know if that's quite right. What he said, it wasn't quite right. And I'm going, isn't this the adulterer? I thought this guy wasn't even on TV anymore. And then he made that joke, and I said, oh, that's pretty low. They're probably the only place in society where you can make a racist slur like that would be this podcast, wouldn't it?
Oh, I was going to say, we would have to be absolute hypocrites to mention one thing about Bo Ryan and his dog-eating Chinese slur.
Yeah, but it's pretty stupid of Bo because he would have known his first gig back, or I don't even know. He knows people are going to be watching him now. Like, they're looking for any sort of lead from him to run a new story since his adulterous ways.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say after watching that story from Bo Ryan is high five, high five. The Parramatta board five, the board of five, whatever they're called, the famous five, the infamous five, led by Steve Not-So-Sharp, have lost their Supreme Court appeal, as I said earlier. Maybe this is the beginning of a new day. I don't know. I mean, it's like the WADA investigation into your team. It just becomes one story after another. All right, Normie, we're going to get into something that I know you love, I love, we all love. Let's talk about AFL. The Sydney Swans made a mess of the Gold Coast Suns, winning in a swimming pool, basically, on the Gold Coast by 20 points. And then GWS lost a second game in a row to the Geelong Cats by 10 points. Normie, after that game against the GWS against the Geelong Cats, would anyone be hurting more than Stevie J after their loss?
No, they're good questions you asked for, unfortunately. I wasn't listening. But I've got a question for you to ask me next week. This is an AFL-related question that will get an answer. Jot this down. Have you got a pen?
Yeah, I'm writing it down now.
All right. Ask me who I dislike more out of Koshy, James Brayshaw, and Eddie Maguire. Ask me that. on next week's show?
I can't guarantee I will, but all right, I might humour you.
And just take a stab. Who do you reckon I hate most?
Oh, I'd be disappointed if it's not Koshy. There you go.
Oh, all righty.
Nick Kyrgios withdrew from the Olympic selection this week, saying he won't be going to Rio. Normie, the biggest loser in all this story, and I've looked at it from all different angles, the biggest loser is the Zika virus, surely. I mean, this was an opportunity. Let me finish. This is an opportunity lost for the virus, because surely there's a virus who could have infected Kyrgios and received some good publicity finally.
Well, mate, Brazil's loving this. They're doing cartwheels in the streets, and that's because their GDP has just doubled, basically from the fact of all the condoms they're going to save in the Olympic Village, because old Kyrgios wouldn't have been doing much but rooting, I reckon.
In other tennis news, we won't be having another Jack Sock update while the Jack Sock expert, Sid, plummets back to earth from some cheap airline from Peru this week. But Djokovic won the French Open and is the first man to go past $100 million in prize money. Normie, is he the greatest of all time?
No. Still don't like him. He's a cheat. He's a sook.
Why is he a cheat?
He's got a big... Oh, he's a cheat, mate.
Why?
He did... I can't remember. He did something where I called him a cheat a couple of years ago. I can't remember what the incident was. But I actually... Kyrgios cops a lot of abuse, but I actually like him. I can't stand Djokovic, whatever his name is, Djokovic.
Oh... finally, today, a story came out. One-time street fighter and full-time MMA sideshow.
Oh, Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice's brown bread. He's knocked off the perch today with heart problems after recently testing positive to steroids. You do the maths.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'd just like to dedicate a little bit of Dave Dobbin to him. Join in with me, former. Slice of heaven above. Boom, 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 boom. There you go, buddy.
All right, Normie, we'll play the full credit Jeopardy song. Actually, we don't have one. I'm going to give you the answer, Normie, to the full credit Jeopardy. I want you to give him...
I was actually hanging out for it.
I don't think Sid's got around to that. I want you to tell me what the question was. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, swing him at me.
Answer number one. Deliberately lose an NRL game. That's... deliberately lose an NRL game. Normie, what was the question?
The question is, former, to lose to the Knights in 2016, you'd have to what?
actually find that you'll find the answer was, if Manly have to win their last game of the year to make the semis and then face Canberra and Junior Paulo again, Matt Ballon might prefer his team to do what?
Deliberately lose an NRL game.
Answer number two, Normie, is getting punched by Muhammad Ali. That's getting punched by Muhammad Ali. Normie, what was the question?
The question is, what gave Muhammad Ali the shakes?
Oh, Jesus. Hashtag too soon.
how can we have this body back a couple of days? Yeah. This is going to go by Ryan-esque, mate. Don't put this up for 2 or 3 days.
The answer
that'll be,
is...
That'll be funny come Friday.
Yeah. Very, very fickle, the Twitter mob. The answer is getting punched by Muhammad Ali. The question was, name something that is better in 2016 than it was in 1976.
Oh.
Actually, the answer was getting punched by Muhammad Ali. The question was, Aussie Joe Bugner based a whole career off what?
Yeah, great answer.
Normie, I'm looking forward to this, what you come up with here. Answer number three is the game of AFL. That's the game of AFL.
Yeah.
What's the question?
The question goes a little like this. If rugby's the game they play in heaven, what game do all dud footy players who go to hell play?
The answer was the game of AFL. The question was, what does Normie secretly watch whilst wearing his undies and 1 litre of baby oil?
Have you ever met an AFL player?
Yeah.
Well, what was he or she like?
Mate, he was outstanding. I got on the drink, actually, at the AFL club in King's Cross. Outstanding night. I won't say who it was, but yeah, outstanding anyway.
There you go.
The answer was the game of AFL. The question actually was, what has Sid missed most whilst in Peru?
Yeah, that's about right, actually.
Answer number four, the Zika virus. That's the Zika virus. Normie, what was the question?
The question goes a little like this, former. Sid Punts puts his feet of Australia's first recorded case of gigantism down to what? Have you actually checked if that man's still alive? Because you can't be cracking jokes if he's on the way out.
Oh, yes, you can. That's.
I would never make point jokes to someone who's sick or passed away, mate. I'd never do that.
I don't want to go back a couple of episodes of the Martin Bryant thing, but anyway. The answer was the Zika virus. The question was, hopefully, when Channel 7 broadcasts from the Rio Games, that annoying fucking cash cow contracts what? The answer was the Zika virus. The question is, instead of sitting in front of Grant Hackett on the plane to Rio, athletes said they'd prefer to get a good dose of what? Answer number.
You got any more?
Answer number.
Here we go. You got any more for me?
Nah. Answer number five. Sydney's crazy storms and wet weather. That's Sydney's crazy storms and wet weather. Normie, what's the question?
Just a separate issue, former. I actually have a personal question for you.
Mm.
Former.
Yeah.
What best describes your performance between the sheets?
Fast and hard.
Not Sydney's crazy storms and wet weather.
No. No, definitely not. Sydney's crazy storms and wet weather is the answer. The question is, just before Sid's plane gets in from Peru, many people hope what phenomenon returns? Actually, Sydney's crazy storms and wet weather is the answer. The question is, 3,622 clearly homeless people showed tremendous resilience by withstanding the pain of being at a Roosters home game to avoid what?
Yeah, wow. Why would you go to that game?
Oh, no, that's not for me. And I had the opportunity.
Surely it was family and friends and girlfriends and wives.
I've heard.
Why would you go? Why would you put your hand up and go, yeah, I'll go to that game?
I've heard Docs has investigated three families that took their kids to that game. So,
not bad. Sydney's a game missing more often, mate. You really come out of your shell.
All right, it's grab a mirror time, Normie. Let's play this song.
I want you to go grab a mirror. We're hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, just take a look at yourself and make a change.
Well, there's only two of us, but I've asked for the help of all our listeners and Twitter followers, and they have come in droves for Grab a Mirror this week, Normie. Do we want to start with mine, or will we go straight to a couple of the followers?
No, I'd like to hear what the followers is. Who do they want grabbing a mirror this week?
Okay. First cab off the rank was at Ben Pugsley, and he wrote, "The chick in the $5 million house saying the council should have done something about the ocean. Hashtag piss off."
Yeah, it's the only time us peasants ever feel good that we don't live on the ocean front, isn't it? We're like, oh, I'm so glad I'm this many streets back.
Oh, you can hear the waves. You really can. At Ernie Oz wrote, "Grab a mirror, Michael Buettner. He knows the reason." I think that's to do with the match review community, Normie. At Crazy Eagles 71, he wrote, "The bunker. for uniting rugby league in a way no one else has. That's true. I don't know.
Yeah, not even Hazmil Masri and Jason Stevens walking along Cronulla Beach could bring us together. Quite light in the bunker.
Your boyfriend at Thundertown 80, he wrote, I know you've got a thing for the Rabs versus Gus nonsense, but grab a mirror, Braith Anasta. He is an absolute punish to listen to on Fox.
I don't mind Braith, but speaking of this Thundertown, I think he's got a bit of a thing for me, former. He wants to take this to the next level, this friendship.
Have a look outside your window. I think you'll see him somewhere. Look long enough. And I like the cut of this next bloke's jib. At Dinger Dorrell. And he wrote, grab a mirror, Normie Dorrell, for going two podcasts without an abusive Gus tirade.
He sounds awfully familiar, that Dinger Dorrell. Could be my younger brother. And the reason I haven't abused Gus Dinger is because he's gone underground. He's deleted his Twitter. He's no longer doing the commentary. I think he's been listening to the podcast and has got the signal. So you should be thanking me.
Well, let me just say to you, grab a mirror. And this is from me and also from at LukeJ83, Gus Gould. It's time you went.
He hasn't even been in the stratosphere in the last couple of weeks, but I like the fact you're still going to give it to him.
Mate, he blocked me, then he unblocked me. That's the first time that's ever happened to me for a start. Over a lighthearted tweet how I said he commentates like he's been on the punt. But as luck would have it, the world of Twitter bit Gus right on the arse this week, Normie. He tweets the world a private message where he outlines private conversations between he and Uncle Nick Politis about Mitchell Moses. And then when he realises the monumental fuck-up that he made, he then takes himself straight off Twitter and disappears. And as you were said, went to ground. Me and Luke, JH83, say to you, Gus Gould, grab a mirror. Normie, who have you got? Who should grab a mirror this week?
Much along the theme of Dinger Dorrell, and I think being my younger brother, he knows just how much I enjoy looking into a mirror. It's actually me, former. And it's for comments that I made on the podcast 2 weeks ago where I laid in to the honey badger, Nick Cummins.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
I gave him an absolute godful. And now I've had a few people write to me as well as a few mates, and I said he's actually a top bloke. His dad's sick. He looks after him. He's one of seven kids. I'm one of five kids for him, so I feel like I've got that connection with him. He looks after a few of his sisters who are one well. And I just want to say this to him. I said, we all make mistakes, and I want to say to you that you may have made a mistake by playing rugby union, and I'm willing to look past that, Nick, the honey badger, and extend my warm embrace to the rugby league family and say, we'll have you, mate. I hope you'll forgive me.
I'm not sure that we need any more touch judges, but all right, fair enough. At Droopy Tweets wrote, Channel 9, go and grab a mirror. Just the whole shit show. Grab a mirror, Gus, Rabs, the producers, the board, everyone at Channel 9, grab a mirror, except Vonnie.
Yeah, that's about right. I don't mind Joey. I think Joey's probably the most insightful rugby league commentator of them all, but the rest of them. What's wrong with Freddie Fittler? What? Why do they all laugh when he says those things that don't make sense and everyone laughs like he's saying something extraordinarily funny? I'm like, the guy's not right.
I won't say what I was going to say. At Shay Wom wrote, grab a mirror of the Dragons. They got the 2 points on the weekend, but how dour was their performance for those players?
I didn't see that's funny. Good on you, Shay Wom.
At Fat Hairy Lazy, he wrote, the bunker should go and grab a mirror, overturning a correct decision in a crucial moment in the state of origin. Yeah, I agree. Chris Brown.
But this is New South Wales clinging to straws. I'll say it again. Even if they award that Morris try, Queensland would have just scored.
Yeah.
Next set of six. They still would have won the game. Don't stop thinking about Queensland won by only 2 points, and if Maloney had to kick that goal, it would have been drawn, and then we might have got the field goal. It doesn't happen like that. Queensland finds a way to win. New South Wales has a culture of losing. They will always lose.
This one's from Chris Brown. Shout out to Rihanna if she's listening.
I thought it might have been the vet.
At Cliffy Neithway. Cliffy Neithway. Chris Brown's a holy boozy, you've got to say. Fifita needs to grab a mirror. My nan gets off the recliner quicker to fetch a can of new than he does to get up to play the ball.
Thank you. Thank you, because it is costing the Sharks as well. Now, what you can see what's happened here. Flanagan must have pulled him aside and said, mate, you play the ball is atrocious. You make that many errors. You give away penalties when we've got possession. Take your time. Just play the ball properly. He has taken that to neck level.
Yeah. I don't watch him that close, if I'm honest. Which one are we talking about?
You watch him. Watch him play the ball.
David or Andrew?
No, David's in the UK for family matters. Andrew, the State of Origin player. Mm-hmm. It is ridiculous.
I'm going to have another crack. Grab a mirror, Ashley Klein. I mean, this bloke, wow. Have you seen him in the bunker was supposed to speed things up. This bloke, he dead set could drive Miss Daisy, this bloke. I watched the Godfather trilogy in between him making a decision the other day.
And no man could watch those back to back to back. They are long, boring movies, mate.
Whilst I say grab a mirror, Ashley Klein, congratulations to the NRL. You just found something that Ashley is worse at than actually on-field refereeing. You know, the one thing I'll let him get away with is his brother does make a good pair of jeans, old Calvin.
I was waving you to shut the hell up so I could make my Calvin Klein joke, and you've stolen that as well.
What else do you reckon old Swifty Klein would do slow, Normie? What is there anything you can think of that he just, you know, he would excel at with his speed?
I've got to come clean. I can't tell one ref from the other. I don't know which one's which.
Put it this way.
One of them has a wife who's on the sidelines. I don't know. They all look exactly the same to me. They're all little whipper-type blokes.
Keep an eye on this bloke. When he does the bunker, he's the bloke with the slice of Devon on the top of his head. And all I can say is I'd like to see him on the nest, because there would be a four-hour Kama Sutra session in that bloke, I'm telling you now. Finally, a couple more from Twitter. At Ryan T. Jansen, your other boyfriend, he's back. And he said the match review committee needs to grab a mirror. Touching a ref is apparently worse than stomping on a bloke's Jats crackers. Could not agree more, Ryan T. Jansen. And finally, NRL CEO Fantasy Footy, that's at @fantasy_NRL CEO, Trent Barrett needs to throw away the mirror and sign a better trainer and physio. #DatHair though.
He's a good looking. He's a good looking man, Trent Barrett. Even my wife said so.
Yeah, well, I don't think she's the best judge considering what she's ended up with.
No, that's true, and Trent can't coach either, so I don't have that going for him.
Normie, I'll give you the last shot. Who else should grab a mirror?
Oh, thank you, Former, because this guy is dead set, could have a good, hard, long look at himself. The Channel 9 voiceover guy, the guy that goes, oh, no. Now, when Billy Birmingham first did a parody of that guy in 1994 on Wide World of Sports, you went, oh, yeah, that's funny. I can sort of see that. The ridiculous thing is now the Channel 9 voiceover guy has become a parody of himself.
Yeah.
He is ridiculous. All you big band. Is he trying to have a laugh at everyone's expense? He would get paid that much money to sit there and go, the voice, over and over. He's got to go. All of Channel 9 has got to go other than Bonnie. It's not just the footy. Everything. Every show. The Madden Brothers, if they pop up again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for some reason, Normie, I stumbled across The Voice. All I can say is, Delta Goodrum, grab a mirror, fair dinkum. The show isn't about you, Delta. It's not about you. 5 minutes, Normie. That's all I last, so I couldn't watch it any longer. Anyway,
yeah, Delta's got to stop grabbing a mirror, mate, because she has had that much work done. It's just leave yourself alone, Delta. You're good to begin with. Oh, no.
And that was Grab a Mirror for the Week.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way.
All right, round 14 preview of the NRL and Thursday night. The Thursday night Broncos this week take on Ricky's Raiders in the very first Neville Costigan Cup at the urinal.
He was a good player for a couple of years, Neville.
Mate, when we finish tonight on air, I'll tell you a story and you can decide whether we can repeat it next week about Neville Costigan.
He had his behavioural issues, I know that, mate.
Oh, the world's best. His behaviour one night was outstanding and I just took my hat off and saluted him. The Broncos this week are trying to avoid a fourth straight loss on the trot. Who do you like, Normie? What do you think?
Oh, we're just going to give us the most pleasure in the post-presser coach interview. Because Wayne is borderline on tears. Rick, he's rated. He's a special. I just want to see the post-match. I think it's the rot will continue and Ricky's Raiders will do the Bronx.
The only reason I'm tipping the Broncos is I just don't see them losing four on the trot. I just can't see it. I don't see it.
Mate, they've lost four or five already.
Oh, well, I can't see them losing another one. Put it that way. Friday, West Tigers play the Rabbitohs in the very first Craig Field flag at Renovators Delight.
And he's in jail for murder, that bloke.
Fans from both teams are asked to stand and clap at the 10th minute to honour the 10 years Field is serving currently in prison. Who do you like in this?
Good. I'm always good for beating you to it, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much. Who do you like in this?
I've been waking up in a cold sweat just seeing Jared Grewera-Hargreaves running over the top of Aaron Woods. If that's what happens to your front row, mate, I just can't see the Tigers getting the job done. The Rabbits to win, but not by many.
They were very patchy too on the weekend, but, oh, geez. This internal trouble seems to be brewing once again, and it's just going to wreck the rest of the year, I reckon. All right, Saturday, Knights versus the Warriors in the Coopervoona Cup at Marathon Sex Stadium. The Knights coming off their 19th loss in a row.
Do you even remember? Who's the guy who had the ponytail who played for the Knights in the centres? What was his name?
Oh, he was great. He looked like an advertising executive.
Come on. Yeah, he did. He did. What was his name?
Started with M, I think. Looked like the bloke something out of the Wolf of Wall Street, that bloke.
Yeah, tweet us. What was his name?
Yeah, someone tweet that out. Yeah. The Knights and the Warriors. The Knights have lost a million in a row. The Warriors are hot and cold. Who do you like?
I said at the start of the year, the Knights would have sat down with Brownie. There would have been a face-slapping session. Then they would have looked at the draw and circled four games they can win. Picked one of them against the Tigers earlier in the year. I reckon this is another one they can win. They'll get this done. The Warriors don't back up. They don't travel well. I reckon after coming off a huge win and everyone thinks they've turned a corner, they'll disappoint everyone yet again.
I'm going to take the Warriors, but geez, not with any confidence whatsoever. The second game on Super Saturday, Eels versus the Titans in the very first Matthew Sideshow Bob Peterson pennant at TIO Stadium, Normie. And where is TIO Stadium?
No idea.
$50. Come on.
Darwin.
Oh, you got your 50 back from last week. Well done.
Darwin?
Yeah, it's in Darwin. It's one of these ones that Tourism Northern Territory have taken the Eels up there. And, it's the first game, interestingly, Nathan Peets versus the Eels. That'll be a little bit of a side story. Who do you like?
I reckon the Tits will get the job done with the new inspired forward pack with T-Rex joining them. Now, Conrad Harrell also set to take his position in the team.
Yes.
The Tits, mate, they you'd have to say, are we talking dead set cert for the top eight?
No. But they are outstanding and they are building nicely. And a couple of other players, and I'll tell you what, they will be something else in a couple of years' time. The only reason I'm going to take the Eels in this is the Titans have been in Perth last week, back home, then up to Darwin. They've done a fair bit of travelling after a long game. Extra 10 minutes, and I'm going to take the Eels with absolutely no confidence whatsoever. The next game on Saturday night, Roosters versus the Storm in the Michael Crocker Cup. Storm, easy, right?
It's going to be a really good game of footy. The Roosters have shown some sort of glimmer of hope. Jared Bewera back to his best. I think they get Pierce off. They get Pierce off back as well this week, do they?
No. Pierce is off for another week, and Boyd Cordon is gone for the year, possibly.
Oh, yeah, that hurts. I think the Storm will get the job done for me, and haven't I changed my tune, because that game against the Panthers on the weekend, wow, that was some great footy. So I'm looking forward to this one, actually.
Sunday, the one and only game. The Seagulls play the Panthers in the Scott Petherbridge Plate. And I believe with the recent rumours circulating about the boys from Manly that they've renamed the Brookvale Oval to the Hansy Cronje Park. Normie, who do you like?
Couple of things on this. My brother played footy with the Panthers with Scott Petherbridge, and his name is Dirt Rubbish in our house. So I just wanted to point that out. Well, according to the bookies, the Panthers have already won this game, former.
Right. Why's that?
But there you go. Well, Manly have thrown it, mate, so my money's on the Panthers.
Oh, right. I'm with you now. Sorry. I drifted off there for a bit. You bored me to tears. Monday, the Queen's birthday public holiday double header. Happy birthday to the Queen, who I believe is two more years off sending herself her own letter. Congratulate herself on 100. Dragons and the Bulldogs in the Luke General Patton Shield at Renovators Delight. Oh, I mean, half the crowd will be asleep after the Dragons run out. I think the Bulldogs should win after two close games. They're due for a win. What do you reckon?
Well, here's a question for you. Will the General be in the bunker? Will they allow him to be in the...
I actually thought about that. I don't know, but hopefully. That'll be a nice little way to celebrate the very first Luke Patton Shield.
Mate, I think there should only be a top six this year. I don't think eight teams should be rewarded for the season they're putting together. The Bulldogs are absolutely hopeless. And I reckon the Dragons coming up a bye, I reckon they'll get the job done. Now, does that Mad Dog Dugan return, Darcy Dugan?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, no, he's out for a little while longer.
Because he had surgery. He had to have an op on that.
Yeah,
elbow.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
They had to reconstruct one of the tattoos or something, apparently. The other game on the Monday is the Sharks versus the Cowboys in the annual, Josh Hannay Trophy at Southern Cross Bogan Tat Stadium. Normie, who do you like? Let me guess. Sharks.
Josh Hannay had a mullet just like yours, former, so it's a very good reference. This will be an excellent game. I don't mind if the Sharks lose this. I almost wish this game was a little bit later in the season, but I've tipped the Sharkies full strength to get the job done.
Yeah, all right. Newspaper headlines, Normie. Play that song.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Bibi Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
A bit of a house mix, really. Spoken word. Normie, predicted newspaper headlines for this week. What do you got?
Well, I've subscribed to The Telegraph, mate, because you just couldn't get it here on Sydney's North. So the first ever edition of The Telly has arrived at my doorstep, and before the potty kicked off, I've actually read the back page of tomorrow. It goes a little like this. Now, all these stories surrounding Foran and the Eels and his troubles with Manly, and then Manly on the taking money to throw games, it's all come out in the wash for me. And here's the headline. Foran regrets putting a tree snake on snakes. Trouser snake to go bush.
I've got no idea what that all means. I got nothing.
Only those two men will ever know quite what that means.
Mine's a much simpler headline, and it comes from The Australian, and it just says, Hayne declares he will try and make his dream come true representing the Australian Olympic team in tennis.
Not far off.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it? It'd be a great story. It'd be a great story. You can get Telstra to do like a little documentary.
Well,
you can get jerseys out.
It's been his dream to play for Australia in tennis, and Nick Kyrgios has left his spot open. I mean, surely he must be the next up.
Well, unlike Tommy, Hayne would probably know which way to hold a tennis racket as well.
Twitter challenge. Let's listen to this.
Tweet me. Tweet me, my friend.
All right, this is the Twitter challenge. Sid has been a late scratching from this after being blocked by Sonny Bill Williams. Normie's seeking...
Well, it's down to two.
Normie seeking a retweet or a follow from Rusty Crow. Normie, what did you do this week?
Good news, mate. There were some retweets to be had. This is my most popular tweet I've ever done to Russell Crowe. I've had 10 retweets in 23 or something favourites and counting, so sling me some, you bastards. All right, We're going to get Russell to come round. Hi, at Russell Crowe. I'm thinking about trying out for the TV show Gladiators with Mike Whitney. Any advice from when you were on it? Now, of all those retweets and favourites and whatnot, nothing from Russell Crowe, the man himself. I also received some abuse, mainly from people in Illawarra Steelers jerseys and Dragons jerseys, telling me that I need to up my game. I think they're looking for something a little less creative. And I also had a direct message from a guy who told me one of the guys who was actually on the show Gladiator, one, you know how they all have those ridiculous names?
Yeah.
His mate was in a threesome with him and his wife.
What? Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that one before?
Yeah.
What's
his name? Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
And there's more to that story, but that, so that was an interesting couple of replies there. Nothing from Russell.
I've got the tough task of trying to get a retweet and a follow from Warwick Capper, and I found a picture of Big Woz doing some stretches from the mid-90s, and wow, the old shorts left not a lot to the imagination.
you always tweet these, and I made the mistake of clicking on the link for the picture. Every time I go, why did I hit that for?
So in the picture, it's Woz just stretching the old glutes, and yeah, there's not a lot left in imagination, like I said. So I wrote, hi, at Warwick Kappa 39. Is the worst thing in this pick, 1, the wedding ring, 2, the Bears jersey, or 3, it was clearly a cold day? So of that, Normie, I've had 5 retweets, I've had 16 favourites, and once again, Woz has just ignored me. And DeGalbo, who wrote short dick or something, that's probably not going to help me.
Normie, at least he hasn't blocked you.
Weekly full credit to the Boys Awards. This is where we give some love to our more amateur tweeters around the place. And what have you got for us this week?
Well, special shout out to this man because I just know he's been tweeting a bit. He must be hanging out for a mention. And here it is. Dirk at Lunch Bar, you've done it. His tweet to me during the week went, break in. Crime gangs concerns that their members may be consorting with rugby league players. I love that. That's clever. Very good.
Well, my tweet of the week comes from at Budynya, Budynya. And this came up after, in the Roosters-Tigers game, young Connor Watson had his pants pulled down and exposed his buttocks, or his anus. And Blake Ferguson quickly grabbed his shorts and pulled them back up for him while he was playing the ball.
He did, very quickly.
And at Budynya wrote, I bet Watson's cheeks clenched up when Fergo's fingers came close to his crack.
Well, he's been in a bit of strife for putting his hand in areas like that in public before, hasn't he?
I believe that's what he might have been referring to, Normie. All right.
Yeah, okay.
The boy sack, Normie. Let's hit that.
Sack, open the sack, empty the sack.
First up, thank you to everyone who commented and messaged and everything else about the interview with Yvonne Sampson. We appreciate it. Our listeners, Normie, are the best people. They're very kind, very generous in their praise. No one was outrageously off colour like I'd expect from probably blokes like Dinger Dorrell. thank you very much. It was if you haven't listened to it, have a listen to it. It was.
Mate, she is unbelievably clever, Vonnie.
Yeah.
She's good, mate. She makes us look extremely ordinary, the three of us combined. She was quick. She was funny. Knows her footy. What a catch! How is she? Isn't she single? What's going on with the world? Bloody hell, man! Do something.
5-star review time, Normie. And have we got anything from this week?
Yeah, mate. We've had a couple this week. One from Kerrod Renica, and one from Ty Niwanana. I'm going to read Ty's one. He gave us 5 stars and wrote, "Popular Ray." found this one by accident while looking for another NRL podcast. Thanks for that, mate. Yeah, glad you pointed that out. Haven't missed it. What the hell other podcast was he looking for? Haven't missed an episode since and stopped looking for the other one. Just subscribed. Easy. Bit annoyed at iTunes at the moment. Can't download Diamonds from Chris Ray. God, I'm old.
What the hell is going on?
I hope you listened this far in, Ty. Special shout-out to you, mate. And let me know what that other podcast you stopped looking for was. I might start looking because this one's pretty rubbish.
Just quickly, if you're listening this deep, if you haven't clicked subscribe, click subscribe. It helps us, helps you. I say it every week. 5-star reviews will guarantee you'll get read out your name. That'll probably have the police knocking on your door later that evening. Normie, I also have a doctor former, but we might wait until the little fella comes back from overseas before we do that one. It's explicit. Let's just say that.
Mate, who is writing to you for love advice? That there's already a problem right there.
I think you'll enjoy it, and I guarantee you'll Google one of the terms used in it, because I know I did.
Oh, my God.
Up until next week, mate, have a good week. Sid is on his way back next week too. Go the Tigers, please.
Mm.
And
The Tigers are no chance. And if you've listened this far, you've probably noticed I haven't done any Ray Warren impersonations this week. My throat is dead set rattled. It is killing me. I've got it on ice. Rabs will be back next week, I promise.
All right, mate. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week, eh?
Alrighty, mate. Have a good one. Good fun. Go to Sharky. See you, mate.
Bye.
Bye. See you, bye.
I gotta know what you're doing with me. I got a lot, but I ain't got a